For those of you just joining us today, we've been in a series this fall, a preaching series about the parables of Jesus. And for the only time that we will dip into the Gospel of Matthew's collection of Jesus' parables this morning, we actually have two parables. More on that in just a moment. I have a Texas friend who I will call Daniel. And one day, he came to know that he's an alcoholic. Now, it took him a long time to discover that. It took the loss of his job. It took being arrested, spending time in jail more than once. It took 4 times to detox and 4 months of 28 days each in rehab. It took the broken trust of his family and the loss of all of his friends. But through it all, through the loss of his self-respect and the death of his dreams and the loss of all of his resources, he said, "I'm not an alcoholic." But there was one particular day, and I can't tell you anything more about why it was this particular day than to say the power of God, the one true living God. He sat at his favorite bar after drinking hard for 20 years, and he stared at this half-empty glass, powerful concoction, mixed drink, full of alcohol, half gone. And he pushed it away, and he said to the alcohol in the glass, "You win." He said, "I have given everything I have to have you. And I have lost everything that I have that matters to me in order to control you. And I give up. You win." Now, maybe it's not addiction in some of your lives, but I wonder if you might not have a similar story where at some point in your life, starting a business, it cost you everything, or chasing a dream or a certain educational goal, or a relationship unrequited in return, or the raising of a child who's particularly problematic, or fighting an illness that you can't fight off. Whatever it might be, that you've lost everything in a sense. You've certainly given everything you've got, and still you don't have what you were looking for. Just imagine, just for a moment, just imagine, what if the loss of everything, the giving of everything, instead of it being a hard end story, actually became the occasion of gaining something far more imaginable than you ever could have dreamed of? That's what Jesus is talking about in these two parables. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray whatever we have brought with us this day, that you would intervene and give us the energy and attention and focus to be completely yours for this period of time, that we might see and hear with new ears and see with new eyes what it is that you have through our Lord Jesus Christ to say to us. As far as we know how to, God, we surrender to you for you to have your way with us. For we pray in the beloved name, the name and the presence, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Two parables back to back. Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. Hear the word of God. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. It would not take you long if you were to sit and carefully reflect on these two parables side by side, that you would discover that they're not as similar as they seem. There are significant differences. In the first parable, the verb tense, as is accurately reported here in the NRSV, the verb tense is present, which means it has a present and progressive. It's an ongoing thing that's going on right now. And so he writes it in terms of he goes, he's going, as I'm speaking to you, he's going right now. He's selling all that he has, and he's buying the piece of land. But in the second parable, it's written in the aorist tense in Greek, which is past. And it's not just past, it's past and contained. It's over, done, maybe even well in the past. He went, he sold, and he bought a piece of land. No, a pearl. The first man happened upon this treasure working in a field. Oh my gosh, I was not expecting this. The second, however, is a merchant. And he's a merchant who has a specialty in pearls. And he's pursuing, he's searching for the very best pearl he can find. The first parable is about a worker, a field worker who's working for someone else who owns the land. But the second parable is about a man who apparently is a small business owner. And he works for himself in search of pearls. In a lot of ways, these parables are distinct and tell somewhat of a different story. However, having said that, the truth is that the commonalities, that which is similar between the two, far outweighs the differences. There is an intimate joining of meaning shared between these two parables. Now, we don't know if Jesus told these back to back, maybe in ever or in any particular setting, or just maybe in one setting, or whether Matthew has brought them together because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But whichever way, they're there for emphasis, because this is what Hebrew people would do. They would do like many of the Psalms do, what we call synonymous parallelism. The psalmist will make a statement, and then he'll say it again with different words. And the net effect to a Hebrew person was, whoa, yeah, I get it. You're making it emphatic. You said it, then you said it again. It's as if Jesus is saying, look, I just told you this parable. Listen to me. Listen to me. Are you looking at me? Let me tell you again what I'm saying. So it's for emphasis. The intimate coming together of meaning, the shared meaning between the parables, maybe could be broken out very simply into these four things. The first is that this treasure, in both cases, is found, it's discovered, and it's in the course of one's regular life. In this case, in the course of their work life. They are going about their business. and they discover something that they did not know was there. Which brings us to the second part of the shared meaning. They both share the same meaning, that it's a surprise. They do not have a map that's guiding them. They were not in control of what happened that day. They did not know what was coming. And then all of a sudden it's, oh my gosh, what's this? What a surprise. And part of the surprise, number three, in terms of shared meaning, is that it was an inexpressible amount of value. It was priceless what they found. Whatever that pearl was like, whatever the treasure was hidden in the field, it was breathtaking. It was unbelievable. You can almost hear them saying, I've never seen anything this wonderful ever before. Which brings us to the fourth and final part of the shared meaning, and maybe the one that might be most important to us, and that is that so priceless was this treasure that they were willing to give everything that they had. To put it in more negative terms, they were willing to lose everything just so that they might have this. This is probably almost incomprehensible for Jesus' audience, hearing him speak these two parables. It's even a little incomprehensible for you and me, isn't it? Really? Everything? Yes. Everything. It's more valuable. You almost can hear the two men saying, it's more valuable than anything and everything that I have in all of my life. Now, Jesus is posing a question through these two parables. It's something like this. What happens when a person happens to discover the kingdom of heaven? And by that, in the Gospel of Mark, in his theology, the kingdom of heaven is where God is. It is utterly filled with the presence of God, such that the curse of sin is gone, is pushed out. It cannot be where God is. It's where he reigns. That's what his kingdom means. It's where he brings to bear the salvation of Christ, such that the curse of sin is eradicated. It is what we look forward to. And Jesus says it is breaking in upon us right now. He's talking about us today, not just at our death and crossing over Jordan into the promised land. It's now that it is happening in our midst, wherever Jesus is, that kingdom of heaven. He says that when you discover it, what do you do? What does a person do? And then his answer is, the person is so moved that they'll give up everything to have it. Anything and everything. My question is, really? Has that been your experience? Well, it was Daniel's experience. In spite of the fact that the losses were because of his bad choices, in spite of the fact that his giving everything that he had was in the direction of his own destruction, his hitting bottom, his losing everything in a very negative kind of a way, became the occasion of something far more imaginable than he had ever dreamed. It led him directly into a community of alcoholics who were recovering. And in that setting, he was received with an incomprehensible, unconditional love. Something that he had never found in church. He was met with a kind of love that was penetrating and deep, and it didn't have anything to do with how well he was doing or who he was or what he had done in his past. It was certainly the love of God through these very raw, broken people who had found something unbelievable. Over the course of these last 6 years, Daniel has chosen to align himself with the will of God and to wean himself off of all of the destructive tendencies of the family disease of alcoholism, like playing a part, taking upon himself all people's offenses and letting them stick to him, bearing resentments towards anybody who had crossed him, playing God, making pretend that he was far more important than he really was. One by one, dealing with these defects of character, he's laid them down, is in the course still today, and will the rest of his life be laying them down daily. Daily surrendering all that he has and all that he wants and all that he wills and all of his desires to the living God. And along the way, what he's discovered is that this one true living God has made himself known in a paramount way through Jesus Christ. So I want to leave you this morning with three questions. And the first one, and this is for not just for you, this is for me, because I've been asking myself these questions all throughout this last week. Is it possible that some of us here haven't really seen the kingdom of heaven? And we really don't know what Jesus is talking about here. I mean, we're here for lots of reasons. Maybe for some of us, it's, yeah, we'd like to be saved, whatever that means. We'd like to spend heaven with God and have reunion with our families. And you know, maybe that's it. And we've seen maybe that far. But when he starts talking about giving up everything that you have, we say, really? What are you talking about? For us, maybe it's more, as Elizabeth Elliot said years ago, like the cherry on top of the whipped cream on top of the sundae. It's not the main course, the thing that should have brought us here. We're just looking for a little add-on, make our life a little better. Is it possible that we, like some of Jesus' hearers, are in that position? The second question for you, is it possible that some of us have settled for some paltry dream, some alternative we've dreamed up? Maybe we've given up on this kingdom of heaven business, but we have a dream that we are still pursuing, and it's enough. That, you know, I guess it's about as good as it's going to get in my life. Is it possible that some of us don't really care about what the kingdom of heaven is because we've drawn up our own plans? And is it possible that some of us see it, but we simply are not willing to pay the price? When it comes to surrender, we stop short. I'm willing to give you these things, but certainly not everything. It's for us that he spoke the parables. It's for you and me. And it's for you and me, perhaps today. Maybe today is the day that you stare down the equivalent in your life of that half-full glass of alcohol and say, I give up. Into the arms of our Savior. You have homework to do. Let us pray. Dear God, so often we have viewed the parables as meek and mild stories with a little bit of a moral, something to take away. But we see more and more that there's a lot here, and some of it's confrontative. That we are surprised to find that we are in each of the stories. Lord, show us where we are in this story. And above all, we pray, give us, Lord, give us strength and courage to act. To act in accordance with your word, as we spoke of in the call to worship. We pray all of this in the beautiful name, the powerful name, and the saving, glorious name of our Lord Jesus, who is the treasure beyond compare. Amen.